did the farm bill like fall off the face of the earth or something? Like maybe it got sucked into some warp zone and folks have decided, well, you know, if we don't have one, that's okay. No, it's not. It's been a long time getting this farm bill put together. We'll talk about that. Hopefully things are moving along. Troy Downing is with us. One of the big issues, he's one of our Eastern District. Well, he is our Eastern District congressman. We'll put the Endangered Species Act on there as well, because I think it is so needed to get some reform in there. But it has been really hard to get consensus and get anybody really on board about it. So that is on our agenda here today. Right into it today here. Our Eastern District Congressman is Troy Downing. He's a member of the House Financial Services Committee, a House Small Business Committee, a veteran as well, U.S. Air Force, National Guard. I mean, this could go on. An educator, an entrepreneur. And if you read his story, its roots are homegrown. And it's hard work that led to success. Troy, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me. And hey, just one update. Mm-hmm. They finally gave in and put me on a slot on the House Natural Resources Committee, because I just kept waving onto that committee so many times because we have so many issues that are germane to central and eastern Montana that they had no choice but to put me on it. So just adding that to the opening introduction there.
Good work, and I hope that teaches them a lesson.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. And because I think Montana has had a representative on that resources committee continually for the past, I don't know, it's probably 3 decades or so.
I was so proud to do that. I mean, because so much of the stuff that I've been working on with, you know, energy policy, with the Endangered Species Act, with tribal issues, with water issues. I mean, there's so many big ticket items that are germane to Montana. And so I just kept showing up to that committee. And they said they didn't have any room, and then suddenly there was a vacancy, and they put me on it. So we're not breaking stride in making sure that we're well representing the interests of central and eastern Montana.
Well, you're probably one of the hardest working congressmen in Washington, D.C., so it's an extra duty, but I know you'll serve there. Let's go with this ESA then, the Endangered Species Act. I've covered it. I've been doing this job for a few years, and the goalposts keep moving on it. The record of success there is not very good in terms of percentage of species recovered, and it seems like it's just one of those things that we're uncovering in a lot of places in Montana, or the country, I should say, perpetual programs. Nobody right. really well, wants to win. They just want to have the money coming in so we can have a perpetual problem here.
Well, here's the problem is a lot of, you know, well-intended ideas and well-intended policies sometimes just get blown up to the extent that they're not addressing the original issues and become something much, you know, much more than they were, and not in a positive sense, but in a negative sense. And, you know, what's really happened with the ESA, with the Endangered Species Act, is it's become the Hotel California. Mm-hmm. You know, you can check in anytime you want, but you can never leave. And that's the problem. As we have the science to see a species that has been threatened or endangered, and we have those markers on when it's recovered, it's become almost impossible to come off of that list. And the problems that we're seeing this in Montana a lot, is as you start to see not just the recovery to the original targets of the grizzly bear, but you're seeing it exceed that. And with being an apex predator there, we're starting to see issues with, you know, with mountain bikers, with hunters, with fishers, and that really unfortunate incident we had a few years ago in Evando, where that woman who was biking across the country was mauled and killed by a grizzly bear while camping up there. We need to give the states the power to regulate, to deal with, to put the policies there for species in their states that have already surpassed that target of recovery. And that's something I'm really excited about, the work that we're doing on the Natural Resources Committee with those issues. I think that Chairman Westerman is doing an awesome job there. And so we're expecting to be voting on this imminently. Unfortunately, that bill got bumped yesterday, but we expect that to be up, you know, shortly, so we can actually get that passed, hopefully we get the same thing in the Senate and get that to the president's desk, because these reforms are long overdue.
I don't think there's any low-hanging fruit either, especially in being able to pass something across the finish line here. There may be, in a sense of policy, things that are easily accomplishable, but in putting it together in one package, what's in here? What's proposed kind of specifically for us? Give states more power?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the goal is really simple, is to get the Endangered Species Act back to what it was meant to do, and that is to recover species. And the problem that's happened is it's been weaponized. There's folks that have a lot of interests in, legal fees and everything else that they can do to have some of these fights there. But what it's doing is it's preventing our traditional businesses in Montana, traditional industry from being able to thrive, because a lot of times you can't get past the sometimes overbearing extent of these regulations to do to any kind of development, any kind of natural resource or other development. So one of the things that we're trying to do is just cut the completely unnecessary red tape and be able to do projects so that we can get permitting done, so that we can continue to create jobs and industry and grow the economy in Montana without rules that are completely unreasonable, because we're dealing, like I said, I made the one example, the grizzly bear, we're dealing a lot of times with species that have recovered, and there's no reason that we're still hindering our growth and job creation in Montana because of these rules that have that really need to be revised. And just to be clear, Tom, nobody's talking about eliminating the ESA.
Yes.
We're just talking about right-sizing it and revising it so that it's no longer the Hotel California, and that the science is driving this so that if you do have a recovery of a species, you can then manage that in a way that's not so restrictive to doing anything else.
Yeah, it's definitely off track, and it does take a concentrated effort and to get that across the finish line to lawfare. I mean, it has been weaponized, and I appreciate people recognizing that. And that's my next question here too, because we've learned an awful lot, I think, in the industry and economic development, and we've come a long ways in being able to understand a good balance between conservation and economic, need and development, especially in rural areas. Does the record?
Well, and Tom, if I could just bump off that a little bit, because one of the things that keeps coming, and this is kind of part of the conversations that we're having, is just overall permitting reform, of being able to actually get things to market. And nobody, I just want to be really clear on this. Nobody is saying we need to, push a species to extinction. Nobody's saying we need to stop doing environmental impact studies. Nobody's saying that we need to stop actually looking at the impacts of what we're doing in the state. But we're trying to change it so that if you have a project you're trying to bring online and it takes you, a couple of years or more to get the impact studies back before you can even touch the first blade of grass, that slows down everything. And we're not in a position right now where we can afford to be slow. We've got so many issues that we need to do to, continue creating, high-paying jobs, to continue growing the economy, to continue creating opportunity in this state. And when you've got to wait for a, government bureaucracy to give you a yay or nay for years, it's just not reasonable. So what we're trying to say is not that we completely gut the ability to have these studies, but we make it so that it's reasonable, so that people can get to market quickly rather than having to, put something on the back burner.
Yeah, and I think that's critical as well. Are there any, and usually it's going to be Democrats in Congress that are going to oppose this, and, and you're always in an election cycle. So, I mean, that has an impact too on how they think and how they talk about it. But are you getting some members of the other side of the aisle on board with this, at least in some areas? How's that process shaping up?
Well, it remains to be seen what happens on the House floor. But, a lot of us are trying to push to find some common ground so that we can get bipartisan, bicameral legislation through. And, end of the day, for anything going through regular order, we're going to need 7 Democrats on the Senate side for this to get to the president's desk. And so we're hopeful that we get that. There's definitely been some ramblings of support, but the proof's going to be in the pudding when we actually, get this to the floor, see what the votes are. And if we do get it through, on a bipartisan nature on the House floor, then that's a good harbinger of what we can expect on the Senate floor, and hopefully get some, you know, meaningful changes into this act. Because I think both sides understand that there need to be some changes here.
Good.
And as long as we're not at each other's throats and trying to be reasonable in how we talk about this, like I said, we're not trying to say we're not going to protect a species that warrants it, but we just need to make sure that this is not slowing down growth and development, and this is not killing jobs and killing the economy, and that you can get responses from a government agency in real private industry business time, not in prolonged government bureaucracy extended time.
I like that you looked at the heaviest weight in the gymnasium, so to speak, and said, let's go over and lift this because it is getting in the way. Yeah. Good luck with this and keep that effort up. I very much appreciate it. Troy Downing is with us, Montana Congressman, 2nd District, U.S. Representative, first term Republican there, and a former state auditor as well as business leader, real estate, insurance, tech, education, and a veteran too. Let's move over to the farm bill. did it get lost?
Well, so it's interesting you ask, because I was just talking to G.T. Thompson about an hour ago, who chairs House Agriculture. And this has been a long time coming.
Yeah.
And as I'm traveling around the district and talking to our farmers and ranchers, there's parts of the ag industry that are doing better than others right now. Our beef producers are doing okay, but, we can't take that for granted. They tend to be cyclical, and our grain growers are struggling. But one of the things that's really clear is the entire industry needs predictability. And we need to not continue kicking the can down the road. There's so many programs that are so important to our producers in there, from crop insurance to rural development, on all down the line. And when you kick the can down the road, a year at a time, when you do these continuing resolutions or these extensions, it really makes it more difficult for our producers to plan into the future and have any kind of stability. And, I came out of the private sector. I came out of business. And we would always do 1, 2, and 3 year pro formas of what we expected our income and our expenses to be. So we always predicted based on the best information we have. And having stability in a 5 year extension of the farm bill really, helps those producers that are already dealing with so many issues. I mean, as I'm sure anybody driving around the district is seeing, there's a lot of grain that's in bins, it's in elevators, a lot of wheat because of a weakness in that market. We need to start moving that. There's all these other issues, the cost of inputs, of parts, of equipment. There's all these issues that are really that our producers are struggling with, and we need to address those. But at least we can check the box on one thing to give some stability and predictability. So I'm feeling, I know they've been whipping the votes on this, and I hear it's going well. I'm, of course, going to vote for it. My team normally tells me never say you're definitely going to vote for something until you get it. But I mean, there's just so much, need for this, and I think it's going to be very positive for our producers in Montana. So we're going to do this, and let me tell you, we're not done. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the trade issues, I'm looking at the input issues, I'm looking at the tariff issues. We're talking to the administration about, their rhetoric on imported beef. And we're just making sure that the administration understands we need to regrow the American herd. We're looking at what's going on with Mexican New World screwworm. We're looking at all these issues, and we're not going to stop looking at those issues. But what this gives us is it gives us some stability so that we can work on those other problems without having to worry about kicking this can down the road again.
And I think it's important, to note that a lot of this farm bill is not agriculture. The vast majority of it deals with social programs. Are all of those pieces in place? And then are we just wrangling over the agriculture piece of it?
Well, here's the thing: is it's always a little bit of a fight because different parts of the political spectrum, and even within the same party in the political spectrum. There's the rural development issues, the crop insurance, like I mentioned, and then as you just mentioned, the nutrition programs, SNAP and WIC are obviously programs that are important, but we need to make sure that they are, they're correct. And so it's a pretty delicate balancing act mm-hmm. when they get this farm bill to do to balance the needs of rural Americans with those nutrition programs. And that's what gets the bill across the finish line, is the hard work they do in committee to balance that, so you do get something that both the House and the Senate can pass. And, it's not easy getting to that position when you've got, like Chairman Thompson in the Ag Committee, of balancing those, sometimes disparate interests to get to something that is to the point where it not just gets through committee, but can get in a very, tight majority in the House, get that across. So if you've got anybody that is struggling with, any parts of that, it gets harder and harder to pass. And then, as I mentioned before, it needs to be bipartisan if we're going to get it through the Senate, because we need those, a minimum of 7 Democrats in the Senate. So balancing all those programs, obviously I'm talking a lot about the rural and actual producer issues, because, those are incredibly important, but I'm not discounting the nutrition part. That's important as well. But to make sure that that's right-sized, and I think that we've done a really good job on making sure that we're, addressing the needs of those who cannot help themselves, but we're not just squandering, hard-earned hard-paid tax dollars.
Yeah, and right now, it's my understanding we're still operating off of the old farm bill, even though that expired in September of last year.
Well, what keeps happening, and this is what gives the, kind of uncertainty amongst our producers, is they keep doing these, short-term extensions. Yeah. And, what this will do is it'll give, like I said, long-term stability.
Let's talk, Troy Downing with us again, Montana Congressman for the Eastern District. It is downing.house.gov. It's about as easy as there is to find information. A lot of media out there to go through a lot of issues on the website as well. And don't forget that bio, too. I think there's some interesting stuff in there. We have been talking with some folks out of Baker, Montana. Of course, hello to our friends there, KFLN 960 AM, 98.7 FM as well. And their post office has been shut down for about a year.
Yeah.
And they've got places here where you pick up your mail, places over there where you try to send out your mail. And you guys have, you as the Montana delegation, has written a letter to try and get that straightened out. Why is it closed?
Well, I got to just start from a very high level here.
Okay,
Since I've been in Congress, I have been very dissatisfied in the way that the U.S. Postal Service has been run. I've had so many issues and so many complaints around the state. And, we all hold that dear. I mean, there's a history we expect that to be one of the, better operating parts of government, because so many people depend upon it. Mm-hmm. And as I run around and we have, some of these complaints, rise up a little bit higher than others, and we look at a place where they shut down a postal service. And when you get into, the frontier and really, truly rural towns of eastern Montana, that's a lifeline for so many people. And it's not just, getting your electric bill. It's getting, a lot of people get their maintenance drugs, their prescriptions through mail order. There's so many things that are so important to them. And to not have that local post office and have to drive on, what is especially in inclement weather, a dangerous stretch of road that takes, a big chunk of your day out to get there, is just not reasonable. So we need to make sure that we are addressing the needs, not just in our, high population centers for postal service, but in those more difficult, rural and frontier communities, because they depend on it, I would say, probably more than some of the others. So, yeah, we joined into a letter to make sure that that's being addressed, that we can get that reopened. But I'll tell you, the issues, we are looking closely at the issues that we've heard about postal service in Montana. And I'm, we want to understand this is not just an issue in Montana, but we really need to start holding them accountable and figuring out what we can do to improve the service overall there.
Have we learned why it is closed? I think that, people we've talked to there have not gotten answers as to that. Has the post office addressed any of that with members of Congress?
You know, the only thing that I've heard is that they're aware of it, is that they hear the complaints and they're aware that it's closed. So, here's the thing too, is if you travel around, a lot of the, a lot of the smaller communities, some of them have, nice, albeit small post offices they can be proud of. And some of them are run down and not really indicative of the greatness of the state or the greatness of this country or the importance of even our small communities. And so a lot of this, what they're telling us in some of these smaller communities is, say, it's because of the cost of maintenance, the cost of operations. But here's the thing is our small communities can't suffer because of the lifeline that is for these rural communities. And we're just not going to accept that, the maintenance and operating costs of a community that depends on it is a reasonable excuse for shutting something down.
Is there a timeline? Is there any indication that they're going to get some answers on this? You guys wrote a letter. Are you expecting a response anytime soon?
Well, I use the typical, sales and marketing 101. You put the first launch over the bow, you give it a little bit of time, and then you check in on it, and then you give it a little bit less time, and then you just get to the point where you're calling them every day until you get an answer.
Well, keep us up to date on that, will you? And I appreciate the efforts on that. Troy Downing with us. I got a minute and a half, Troy. I'm just going to open it up to you about what you're hearing from people across the state of Montana. You travel a lot. That's a big part and probably the best part of the job is to get out and talk to people. What are you hearing, sir?
Well, I'll tell you, I've already talked about it a little bit when we're talking about the farm bill. We need to have good, strong predictability in our agricultural markets, in our trade, in the, tariff issues, everything that's affecting our producers. We hear that loud and clear. We're working on that. We get a lot of people that are concerned about prices. Obviously, recently, we're hearing a lot of issues with prices at the gas pump, at the grocery store, trying to address those. I'll tell you, the ones at the gas pump, even though it's painful, and I don't discount that. I know there's a lot of Montanans struggling to fill their tanks right now. It's still not as high as it was under the previous administration, but that's not permanent. And some of the bigger issues we're trying to deal with in Iran, making sure that an Islamist terrorist regime never, ever, ever has access to a nuclear weapon is important. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I want to throw out there is housing. Housing is a big issue across the state, the cost of housing, the availability of housing, and even when you get to those smaller rural towns, their ability to recruit and retain doctors and nurses and school teachers is very often limited by the affordability and availability of housing. So we're working that really hard. And we talked last time about my Native American Housing Act. We've got our House housing bill, the Senate housing bill. We're negotiating those two to try to get some relief in there. But that's what we're hearing, the cost of housing, cost of food, cost of gas, and believe me, we're burning the midnight oil to try to get to deliver on results on correcting those problems.
I do believe you. Troy, thank you so much for the work you do. Thank you for your service and for coming on the program. Come on back and we'll talk, we'll roll around some housing issues, okay?
I got to tell you, Tom, next time I got to come in studio. I miss actually sitting there at the desk, so we'll make sure that happens next time.
It's more fun, that's for sure. Best of luck to you, sir.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.